Would you turn with me to the book of 3 John if you've not been with us? Know that we have been going through the book of John for a number of months, and we're going to finish it up today. The book of John, I say the book, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd book of John. We are in 3 John. We're going to look at that last part of that letter. So would you find 3 John? Just go to Revelation and turn back a couple of pages. You'll find it. 3 John, and would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to talk today, and we're going to be reminded of last week's sermon where we talked about a man named Gaius, who was a great pastor's friend and a model of love and care and service in the church. And we're going to look at a guy who was just the opposite today. And Diotrephes is not a name you hear very often. If that's your middle name today, I'm sorry. Diotrephes was a man who loved attention, so much so that he was an irritant to the ministry of God. We're going to read about him today. So we're just going to start from the very beginning, since 3 John is such a short book. So let's read together the book of 3 John. The elder, we know that that's John the Apostle, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You noticed, remember last week, we said it's not wrong to pray for prosperity, but we also need to be praying for the soul to prosper above that. Amen? He said, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, we know that feeling. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And what he's saying there is, again, he said, listen, when we find good ministers, when we find people that are serving God, support them, right? Give them support. Give them your prayers. Give them your help. Then in verse 9, we come to today's part of the passage. John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and he forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Boy, isn't that wonderful when you have people that are just so wonderful? Everybody just says, man, what a great guy. Are you that person? Do you want to be? Do you want to be? John then says, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Sometimes you just need to be there in person. And that's what John's saying he hopes to do. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Folks, we have the Word of God, and this is not just one of those passages that I, as a pastor, go, man, I just can't wait to preach this sermon. This is a tough one, and I'm going to say right now, I don't know that I've ever really preached fully through the book of 3 John. And getting to this passage, you're going to come to a place today, so I want you to hear me carefully. You're going to go, oh, wow, well, he picked this out to kind of point at some people. No, we've come to this after months and months and months. Amen? And my hope and my prayer is that you see that we as a church are so blessed with the unity and the peace here. Amen? we truly are, and we want to keep it. And according to God's Word, He gives us some direction on how to do that. So listen today, people. It's not just about the pastor and others. It's about everyone in the church hearing God's Word, being obedient to the Word, doing the good and following that, and then pushing away from the things that are not of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for Your Word. Can you say amen to that? We are thankful, Father, that we have been blessed with good teachers in our church, that they share the truth of the Word. God, I thank You that we have men and women that seek Your heart and truly desire to glorify You, Lord. What a blessing. Thank You for this family. Would You now use this Word, Father, to a man who was serving well, about a man who was not? And God, would You help us to weigh our actions, and Lord, before You, to be able to desire and know that You're going to say to us someday, well done. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Bless our hearts with it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? We just read about Gaius. Gaius was a wonderful man, a blessing in the early church. And I wish, don't we all wish that all church members were like that? Unfortunately, we know that it's just not the case. They weren't all that great back in that day, nor are they all that way today. But this passage speaks about another man that we talked about, Diotrephes. Now, that's a fun name to say, Diotrephes. It's almost like being able to say platypus. It's just a fun thing to say. I'm sorry, I digress. But Diotrephes, it's not an easy name. But John says here, he says in verse 9, he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, and now from now on you're going to relate Diotrephes to the platypus. I know you are. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among us, among them, does not receive us. Paul said, I wrote to the church. Now, what did he write? He wrote what to the church? Well, we know that he's already written the Gospel of John. We know that he's already written First John, the first letter. He's written the second letter, and now he's written a third letter. But folks, he also already wrote another book to them, and that was Revelation. So five books John has written, because there is evidence that John wrote Revelation before he wrote the epistles. And I think so too as we look at this. John was very aged for one thing, but we also know that that there are some other evidences. We won't go into that. But if this is true, then this, 3 John, is John's swan song. This is his last letter. This is his last written word. Now, he may also and probably did write another letter to Gaius and to others and to Diotrephes. He probably wrote some others. They just weren't found and they weren't recorded. But he very apparently called and he talked to spoke to Diotrephes and said, hey, I'm commending to you this Demetrius pastor. Bring him into your church. Let him speak. Let him share the word. And the scripture says here that Diotrephes wouldn't hear it. So we know this, that many wonderful believers have come into the church and have come into truth through the ministry of the apostle John and the church at Ephesus there. Gaius was one of those folks, and he was a blessing to God's work. But there were also some men like Diotrephes, and Diotrephes was a very different story. Let's talk about the legacy of Diotrephes. Folks, he just had to be up front. He had to be the one getting the attention, and that's what John says here. The mark of Diotrephes is that he loved the preeminence. Now, what does that mean? He had to be first. He was the first one in line. He was the first one to be recognized. He was the first one to speak. He was the first one to get credit. Diotrephes, dear friends, had gotten his purpose mixed up. What is your purpose as a Christian, as a child of God? Are you ready? You know the answer. I want you to say it all together. What is your purpose as a child of God? to glorify God. Diotrephes got that backwards. He thought it was to glorify Diotrephes. He thought it was about him. He thought it was about self. We learn from what we see here that he was a dictator, and he was even opposed to the Apostle John and his ministry. He was nothing but a problem to the gospel of John, to the gospel of God through John. John wrote to him and asked him to receive preachers, and one of them, which we find out was Demetrius, he refused him. Now, you remember what we talked about in not just 1 John, but 2 John, and now in 3 John, how important it was to have a ministry of hospitality. Do you remember? How important it was that you love and care and support those. And remember, they didn't have the hotels like we did today, and they really depended on homes of Christians to be a part of ministry and to be able to share where they were. So Diotrephes refused him, and he refused the hospitality of a Christian brother. Now, we don't know this. We don't know if Diotrephes was the pastor, or if he was just a layman in the church and was an elder in the church and was very, very, very prominent and obviously preeminent. But we know this. He wouldn't open his home to the preacher sent by John. Now, why do you think he wouldn't do that? Why do you think that this man refused to have preachers that John would send? I'm going to tell you, it's because he knew that John's recommendations were going to preach the Word of God, unadulterated, unfiltered, and full. He knew he was going to get the Word, the whole Word, and nothing but the Word. Now, why would somebody fear hearing the true Word of God? Because they were a false prophet. Exactly. You don't fear the truth when you're in truth. Amen? You don't fear the truth when you know you stand in truth. Diotrephes didn't want the truth shared. Not only that, but he also loved the preeminence. He didn't want a visiting pastor coming in and showing him up. He said he didn't want somebody to come in and steal his light. He didn't want somebody stealing his thunder, stealing his spotlight. His motto was like some of the kids on the playground who bring the ball. You're going to play with my ball, and if you don't play by my rules, I'll take my ball and go home. He was like that. His theme was to rule or to ruin. He said, if I can't be first, I'm going to mess it all up. I'm just going to put it down. Churches, dear friend, we as a church and every church really must try men. We really must test them before we put them in leadership. Do you agree? I'm going to tell you this. Folks, I want you to know, before someone is ever brought into leadership here, they're tried. They're tested, not just with what we see, but with time. Did you know that it was probably, 5 years? At least four or five years when this church started with I as pastor, before we ever even asked a deacon to come on? Somebody kept saying, why aren't we going to get deacons? When are we going to get deacons? I said, when God leads us and when God shows us and we actually need them, we're going to call them. That's when you do that, and not before. And folks, it has been a blessing with those that have been brought in both leadership and in service in the church, because they have been tested and proven true to the Word of God. I am so thankful that you can be confident of the men that serve here. What a blessing. I had many years ago, it's been better than 20 plus years, we had in a church where I served, we had a man who came from another church, and he came from a very large church, and he was a deacon there. And when he came and joined our church, we probably should have been very aware. He was only a few miles away from his other church, but he was seeking another church. And he came in and he said, I'm a deacon. When can I become a deacon? Well, it wasn't too long after that, we decided to go ahead and make him a deacon. He was such a sweet guy. And then as soon as we made him a deacon, he began to stir up problems in the deacon's meeting. He began to say, well, we need to do this. I don't like this. Huh? Finally, he got to the point where he said, well, I'm sick and tired, and we're going to do this. And I was just about, as the pastor, I was a young pastor, but I was just about to stand up in that meeting and say, let me tell you something. And a very wise deacon chairman who was both a friend and a wonderful brother in Christ, put his hand on my chest and set me back down. Thank you, Lord. I got to thank you for that man. Because he looked right at this guy, and I didn't have to say it. He said, look, we don't do things that way here. We are servants, and we seek the heart of the Father, and we seek to support the man that he's brought to us. Talk about a blessing. He said it better than I ever could. Amen? Thank you, God, for those who will stand for truth. In verse 8, we look back just a little bit, and John urged the church. Look what he said. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for truth. What is he saying? We need to receive those who are doing well. The Gaiuses, the Demetriuses. He said, we need to receive them and support them. In other words, dear friends, there should be a very real compulsion in all of God's children to support those who are giving the true word of God. Maybe you don't like their presentation. Maybe you don't like exactly how they do things. But are they sharing the word? Are they doing it with love? Then, gracious dear friends, support them. Don't oppose them. Whether it's a preacher, whether it is a missionary, whether it is a teacher, whether it is somebody in the church that's a lay person, support them. And Diotrephes did not do that. He did not support a true teacher, the true teachers in the word. Diotrephes was one of those men that put on airs. He was one that made sure that he was dressed better than anybody else. He was very pretentious. He was very arrogant. He was what we call a strutting peacock. That's what he did. He said, look at me. His motive for serving the church, as we have already said, was not to serve God, but to serve himself. It was selfish ambition. You know what Paul said? Paul called that puffed up. You know, what a great definition. Puffed up. Now I'm a diver. I love to dive. And they got these little fish in the sea, and they're called puffer fish. Now that's the slang name for them. Well, we call them puffer fish. And you know what they do? When you get up close to them, or another fish gets up close to them, they're going to eat them, they fill themselves with air, and they go from... That was Diotrephes. No, don't forget the peacock tail, too. Puffed up. Don't be puffed up. Nobody likes puffed up, right? Except for the puffed. Dear friends, be very careful. We know that Diotrephes was a strutting peacock. He was puffed up. When he arrived on the scene, he wanted a flurry of trumpets. Diotrephes. We've all known folks like this. And they turn people away from the true gospel, don't they? Because I'm going to tell you, over the years, I've had people say, oh, that's where so-and-so goes. I can't go there. Or they use, and it's an excuse, there's no doubt about it. But folks, wouldn't it be awful that someone turned away the gospel because of you? John brings five charges against Diotrephes. We talked about some of them already, but verses 9 and 10, he tells us this. He says, therefore, if I come, and it's not an if, but if he's able, he's going to come in some way. He's going to write a letter, and if he's physically able to get there, he said, in other words, he says, if I get there before I die, you're in trouble. That's what he's saying. He said, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of his church. So what are the charges? Number one, he had to have preeminence. We discussed that a bit. He had to have the leading place in the church. And you know, I got to remind you of this. God's house is not a place to try to come and shine. God's house is not a place for you to shine. It's a place to reflect Christ. You're supposed to be reflecting Jesus Christ. Now, we're supposed to be doing that everywhere, but especially in the house of God. Folks, let me ask you, are you the sun or are you the moon? So many people want to take the position of the sun and say, I'm the light. But folks, we're supposed to be the moon, reflecting the light of the sun. Amen? Did you know the moon has no glowing ability? All it can do is reflect the light of the sun. And if that doesn't give you a good hint, you're not listening. Be a moon, not the sun. Reflect God the Father. Reflect His Son, Jesus Christ. I can really put it into context with two very small verses. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Scripture tells us that the Son of Man, or for even the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Even Jesus Christ didn't come to be glorified on this earth, but to be a servant. He didn't come to say, oh, look how wonderful He is, but to show us what it means to be laid down for others. To give His life as a ransom for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Or other versions say, as being more important than ourselves. It's not supposed to be about us. We're not supposed to be shining the spotlight on us. We're supposed to be pointing to Christ. That's what Jesus did for the Father, and that's what the Father did for the Son. He glorified the Son when the Son glorified Him. Let God do the spotlighting. Amen? Diotrephes refused, then the second thing, he refused to receive the Apostle John. He refused to receive even the Apostle John. Now, if that doesn't say something, I don't know what it is. But here it is. Woe be to anyone who did not bow to Diotrephes in his church. You ever been to a church like that? I'm sorry. I pray that you never find that in a church, but unfortunately it's true. He was a person who said, you know, you bend to my will, you do what I say, or you can just leave this church. He refused to receive even the Apostle John. Don't you feel sorry for any man that would have to be his pastor? Well, if you don't, I do. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that God is the one who ordains a pastor to be the shepherd and to lead a church. Who ordains it? God. It's in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, there are prima donnas who say, I'm going to be the leader of this church, no matter who the pastor is. And they use any excuse they can to say, oh, well, I'm going to leave because the pastor's not able. Or I'm going to leave because the pastor just doesn't have the capacity. Whatever it is. And for men like that, or people like that, no one is ever good enough, and they are going to make their excuse to be the leader of the church. According to the Word, not even the Apostle John was good enough to be his leader. Friend, let me ask you, what would you think if somebody came to you and said, hey, Pastor Gary is going to retire. The Apostle John is going to come be your pastor. Listen, there's nobody here that wouldn't at least want to dance, okay? Woo! Pastor John the Apostle. Coming to be our pastor. That's better than John Bassanio. That's better than Billy Graham. I mean, you could go through the list of names. John Whitfield. John the Apostle. Listen, even John the Apostle wasn't good enough for Diotrephes. It doesn't matter who they are. When they want the attention, when they have to have the preeminence, it doesn't matter who the pastor is. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're not the Apostle John. If you're anointed by God and led by God to be the pastor, be a good shepherd there and shepherd and let the shepherd be the shepherd. Amen? I've been there. I've been with those, especially as a younger pastor, for those that wanted to keep the pastor under their thumb. And I'm afraid it really does happen with younger pastors more often than with older pastors. Because when you get old like me, you just kind of go, what? You want to fire me? Okay, bye. That's not all true, but folks, we need good elders. We need good men and women in the church that love the Lord and support and help a young pastor when he's learning and growing. I wish I could say I never made a mistake, but don't ask my wife. She's been there the whole time. But we learn and we grow, and when you have men who will sit down with you and instead of saying, we're going to do things my way, but instead say, you know, have you considered what God's Word said about? What a blessing. It's humbling. It's instructive. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. And it is of God. Folks, be the kind of person that will do what God says to do. Tell the truth in love. Do you recognize this person? There are times that they're in the church because those folks are everywhere. Now, lest you think I'm just preaching theory, folks, I'm going to tell you the Bible tells us that this is a fact, and my experience tells us this is a fact. So we address these things, and we as a church, and in the, you realize I've been the pastor here for 17 years. This is the first time I preached this sermon in this church. First time I've been through 3 John with you. But lest you think I'm just doing this for me, listen, I'm not going to be around. I could go home tomorrow. I'm okay with that. But dear friend, you better make sure that you know what God's Word says. There are those who want to run the church, and they seem very, very pious, and they seem very, very biblical. And sometimes it's not just an individual, it's cliques. And I've had that happen even in this church, especially when it was a younger church. A few people from one church came over and tried to, you know, they were all lovey-dovey until they joined the church, and then immediately after that, they began to send letters. We don't like this, and we don't like that. And I just had to tell them, say, look, the church was like this when you came. We're not likely to change. I will hear, but I'm going to tell you, we do these things for a reason. Folks, every church is different. Don't come into a church and try to change it just because that's what you want. Come into a church because God leads you there. And it may well be that because of your love and your care and your abilities, you help the church change. But to come in and start demanding doesn't seem to be much love. Then it says Diotrephes made a malicious statement against the apostle. That's the third charge against him. He made malicious statements. And it's common. Those who want to run the show illegitimately malign the leadership. Have you noticed that? They may not say anything publicly, but it's little statements here and there. They malign the leadership. Well, they should have done this. I don't like the way they did that. They never try to be a part of the solution. They just fuss. They hope to discredit the leadership and to get rid of them, or at least to tame them to follow what they want. Folks, when that happens, and this begins to happen in a church, bitterness and stagnation begin to occur, and the church becomes dead. You've seen it. You've probably seen it. Listen, church, could you hear me? I know this is not a real fun message, but I'm going to tell you this is as needed as any other part. Whether it's the pastor that's doing this in a church, or whether it's a deacon or an elder or anybody else, do not stand by and let it happen. I, standing in this pulpit, call on you that if I am that way, you are called by God to take a stand in love to do what's right. Don't let it happen. Honor, he said, listen, do these things. Honor godly leadership. But also, stand up and speak when it's bad leadership. Do something. Support those who are doing right, but combat the gossip and the negativity. Now, can I tell you how I handle this a little bit? And some of you will know this. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't happen real often because of the way it's handled. Because when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, somebody said this. And this is an accusation. Somebody said this. I'm going to tell you, somebody is nobody. Hello? Somebody is nobody. Because my next question is, who is somebody? Oh, I can't tell you. I said, then ignore it and go on. Oh, no, somebody said this, and they said somebody said this. I said, all right, get their name. Let's call them. Let's make an appointment. Let's go see them. Pastor, we can't. Yes, we can. Because you see, what there's being said is not true. And we're going to stop. We're just going to go, as old Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud. So, dear friends, when somebody comes to me, I have learned. I don't always do it right, but I'm going to tell you, I know that this is the way you say, who said this? And you go to them and say, where did this come from? Who's saying it? Why is it being said? And most of the time, it's either somebody who's grumbling or it's a misunderstanding. And if it's true, then friends, you take care of it. That is the God-honoring way to do it. When somebody has a problem against you, they come to you. Don't talk to somebody else. Go to them. You got a problem with the pastor? Don't go talk to Mitch. You got a problem with the pastor? Don't go talk to Nathan. I know you won't go talk to my wife. She'll set you straight. But here's the thing. Sometimes people are wrong. Hello? Even pastors. Even pastors are fallible, dear people. We're human beings. And sometimes we sin. And when that happens, would you be loving enough not to go talk behind my back, but come to me and say, Pastor, here's what I see. And I love you too much to ignore it. And I love you too much to ignore you. Would you love God and would you love me enough to talk to me directly? And if you can't do it, you go to somebody that's of good reputation. You go to somebody that has a long-standing reputation. Not somebody who's going to help you gossip. Not somebody that you know will help you spread the rumors. But somebody that you know loves that person, loves me or loves my staff. And you go to them and say, I'm just struggling with this. Can you help me to go to them? And then you, if you're that person, you bring it. Folks, this is how you take care of things. This is how you do it. God's word gives us a direction there. And you recall he said, I am not going to write all these down. I'm going to come face to face. And he had planned to come face to face with Diotrephes. Then he says the fourth accusation is he refused to receive and care for the missionaries. Now you remember he didn't want them taking his attention, but he also didn't want the truth to be exposed. So that was the fourth charge. Then there's the fifth charge. It says he excommunicated those who took in the missionaries. Folks, that's what false prophets do. We've talked about it just a little bit. They seek to get rid of the true opposition. Not because these other people were in sin, but because they did not support his sin. If you can get rid of those who are making the accusations, get rid of those who are trying to bring in the truth, you have a lot easier time planting false teachings. It could happen anyway. It could happen today too. And you know, you don't hear much about excommunication anymore. But there are a lot of ways that churches can excommunicate or put somebody out of the church without going through proper channels. You can make somebody so uncomfortable they want to leave. Amen? Has that ever happened to you? Just start ignoring them. Just gossip about them. Be mean. Listen, that is just of the devil. Amen? Listen, God's word says that we're to be unified. Jesus Christ himself prayed for his disciples and said, Lord God, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one, Jesus said to the Father. That's not one. That's opposing one another. Oh man, I would hate to be that person when they stand before God and give an account. Amen? Be careful. We are called to include and to love. Now listen, I know I am not everybody's favorite person. I'm so glad that we've got Mitch and Carrie and Nathan and others. I'm so glad we've got them because, you know, they help with the flavor because not everybody likes vanilla. Sometimes you need the different flavor. And that's why God makes different personalities, dear people. I'm going to tell you, you sit down with us. We had a staff planning retreat this weekend, and we were reminded once again, we are very different people. But we also thanked God, and we encouraged one another that although we're very different, we're able to work through differences. Amen? We're able to work together because it's not about us. It's about God the Father. For some, dear friends, preeminence or the attention is intoxicating. And there are some who just want to be up front in the church and they want to be the ones who are given attention. And I'm going to tell you this. I've not only met Mr. Diotrephes, I've met Mrs. Diotrephes. And I'm thankful for my staff, dear friends. Gifted, but they don't seek the spotlight. Nor do they allow others to do the same. They teach them to glorify God. I love that Mitch and Nathan and Carrie teach and emulate to glorify God in their service. Amen? Folks, we're blessed to have them. I'm going to tell you this. It is a dangerous thing to steal glory from God. We must seek to be moons and not suns. Are you with me? We need to keep pointing all the glory back to God the Father. We need to point all the glory back to the Son. In all we do, we need to give glory to the name of Jesus Christ, not ourselves. And I'm thankful that they do that. Each of us need to search our hearts and ask, why am I presiding? Why am I leading? Why do I want to lead? Whether it's singing or teaching or anything, is it for the glory of God? And yes, somebody needs to do it. You go, Pastor, if nobody ever stepped up, we'd never. You're right. We need people to lead, but it also needs to be because their hearts want to glorify God and want to serve the Lord Jesus. But be sure it's to glorify God. And especially as ministers. So I'm going to preach to any of you who think that you might want to be a pastor in any capacity. And to those of us who are ministers. We especially need to be very careful. Are we preaching or teaching to pontificate or to impress? Or are we trying to glorify God? If we do it because we love presiding, we're killing the message and we're killing the church. That's what was happening with Diotrephes. And John said, I'm going to deal with it. He said, I'm going to do my best to get there face to face. John does not ignore it. He deals with this man's sinful ways. And friends, that is a reminder to us that we must address it. So you might be sitting out there going, you know, I can't wait for this sermon to be over. Me either. But understand, we are to do what God's Word says. Sometimes it's not fun to address the problem. Sometimes confrontation is difficult, and it's especially difficult when you try to do it with love. It's easy to just spout off and be mean, but it's difficult to do it and keep your temper. It's difficult to do it and make sure that your words are in love. You remember the old adage? Always keep your words soft and sweet. You never know which ones you'll have to eat. Amen? And not only that, God said so. Do it all with love. John doesn't ignore it. In verse 10, he said this, remember? Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does. Folks, the important word here in Christianity is truth. First and foremost, truth. And the second word is what? I didn't heard it yet. Love, thank you. I thought, man, have I failed? The most important word is truth. But truth is always shared with love. They go together. But it's got to be the truth. God's word tells us that the fruit of God's Spirit is meekness. You know what meekness is? Somebody said, well, that sounds like weakness. No, it's not. Meekness, listen to this. If you've never heard this before, here is a wonderful remembrance. What is meekness? Meekness is power under control. Meekness is power under God's control. To me, I get this picture of somebody, you know, like Jeff Del Ben, you know, holding a tiny infant baby. All the muscle around this tiny, impactable little child. He could crush it. He could smother it. He could bend it. But instead, all that power holds that tiny little infant. Friends, that's meekness. Power under control. Do you get it? God is the one who says act. God is the one who says move. It's really sad that there were not some men in Diotrephes Church, wherever it was, that did not speak up. Do you agree? Somebody should have said something. Well, maybe they were being meek. No, they were being weak. There's a difference. Truth, but do it in love. Meekness is being truthful in the control of God's power. So John had to write to them and tell them, hey, I'm coming and I'm going to have to deal with this. In verse 11, he said, beloved, do not imitate what's evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. He's saying, you've got these people here. You've got these folks. Imitate what you see in Gaius. And in a moment, he's going to say Demetrius as well. But do not imitate what you're seeing in Diotrephes. He says, do not imitate this evil. Folks, it was needed then. It's needed today. So here it is. God's word says, don't act like this. Don't act like Diotrephes. If you do, you're acting like an unbeliever. Now, it could be that in acting like an unbeliever in the church, you're a Christian that's really fallen into self-sin. Or it could be that you're lost in church. Maybe you're in church and you think you're saved, but you're not. It could happen. When you get a Diotrephes, you need to speak up in love. You need to hear their story. Maybe they have something true. Listen, if there's always seems to be a little sliver of truth, and if there's something we can learn to be better, then listen to it. But folks, when it's done wrong after that, correct that part. Hear their story, but if they're wrong, you need to tell the offending brother or the offending sister, you need to sit down and be quiet. Or let's go to the person you're accusing and let's make sure that this is taken care of. 20 years ago or more, I got a letter from a previous staff associate pastor. He had left the church and had gone to pastor his own church. And he sent not one but two different letters, each one apologizing and asking for forgiveness for what he had said and done while he was there. He was a Diotrephes while he was there. He truly was, and he turned into a real difficulty. But it was a little late. Folks, he sent a letter a couple of years after he had left and gone on. I sure wished that he had gone ahead and sent a letter to the church and just said, what I did was wrong. I lied. What I did was selfish. What I did was uninformed. I wished that he had corrected his lies before he left. Amen? Hello? He left me to deal with it. Friends, what should you do if someone is gossiping and undermining and you hear it and you know it? John said the thing to do is to go to their face. Tell them the good things, tell them the bad things. Go to them and say, wow, this is concerning. Let's go to the pastor and get this settled. No? Then stop it. Because somebody is nobody. Unless there's a name to it, folks, you've got to make sure that you're doing things right. Demetrius has a good testimony, he said. And from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Verse 11 said, follow what's good. So first of all, we have the word of God that gives us direction that we're supposed to read and follow. And then we're blessed to have people like Demetrius, who's mentioned there in verse 12. Demetrius and Gaius. And listen, we have many like that here at Grace Point. I'm so thankful. Verse 12 tells us that Demetrius was a good and a faithful brother. And if you're not sure who to go to when things are going wrong, go to one of them. If you can't go to the pastor, you just, I just can't go, then go to one of them of good repute, good report, not questionable. Seek out a strong Christian with a good reputation, someone that you know will take it to God and not to gossip. Are you with me? So all of this is leading up, and the end is more, it's a benediction. He's saying, you know, close things out here. But what is he saying here? And as we finish with 3 John, what he's saying is, don't seek to be the lead person. Don't seek to be the leader. Don't seek to be the one that's out front. Don't seek to be the featured soloist. Don't seek to be the big Bible teacher. And yet, we need every one of those. Amen? We do. I'm not telling you not to get out there and lead. I'm telling you, do it for the right reason. Let God be your guide. Make no mistake, we need those leaders. But if notoriety is your goal, dear friend, your motives are impure. And you put yourself in danger and you put your church in danger. The real test of a Christian and a Christian service is not applause, but reputation. Are they reflecting? Are they the moon instead of a sun? Gaius and Demetrius were tested, dependable brothers. And I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to be spectacular to serve well. I know. I try to serve well, but I have no spectacular abilities. What I do have is a spectacular Lord. And He is worth the service. You don't have to be spectacular to serve well, dear friends. Just faithful. Faithful to the truth. Faithful to love. Faithful to serve. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God. Lord, how do I say thank you enough for those in our church that are so faithful to serve, to share truth, and to do it with love? Father, there might be some visiting for the first time today who might think, wow, there's a lot of problems here that he has to do that. But God, we know better. We know that's not how it is here. And I'm thankful, Lord, that in your wisdom and in your love and in your teaching, it's going to stay that way. Because we will address what you've told us to do. God, help us to be keepers of the truth and sharers with love. Would you help more to step up to serve you, to glorify you?